The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Erica McCarty for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Review. For the next half hour, I will be sharing information compiled from various blogs and websites, including 10best.com, Triangle Food Blog, WRAL Today, Eat Raleigh Blog, Triangle Business Journal, Eater North Carolina, visitraleigh.com. Today's conversation on comforting culinary cuisine is on ice cream. The history of America's favorite dessert is anything but vanilla. The frozen treat's tantalizing past is colored with tales of royal elites, founding fathers, and religious persecution. The first record of something that resembles today's ice cream dates back to the 7th century A.D., A.D. China, when King Tang of Shang enjoyed a mix of buffalo milk, ice, and camphor. Yes, camphor for flavor. But it was British confectioner Philip Lenzi who introduced ice cream to America. In 1774, Lenzi put an ad in the New York Gazette announcing that he would make ice cream available to the masses. It didn't take long to sweep the soon-to-be nation. The founding fathers were as crazy about the new sensation as anyone else, using elaborate ice cream-making methods and sparing no expense when it came to satisfying their sweet-tooth cravings. George Washington procured fancy equipment for his Mount Vernon estate, including 36 ice pots, small cups used for holding what was back then a more liquidy version than today's ice cream, and reportedly spent $200, which is the equivalent of $5,000 today, on ice cream in a single summer. Man loved ice cream. Thomas Jefferson is said to have had an 18-step recipe, which included churning egg yolks, sugar, and ice cream by hand. Think wild flavors like wasabi pea dust and lobster ice cream are the invention of hipsters? Think again. First Lady Dolly Madison was a fan of extreme flavors like oysters and foie gras, and delighted guests at President James Madison's second inaugural ball when she served strawberry ice cream. The discovery of refrigeration revolutionized the way ice cream was manufactured. In 1843, New Jersey native Nancy Johnson invented hand-cranked freezer, which stirred an ice cream mix with salt and ice until the mix was frozen. By the mid-19th century, ice cream was widely available to the general public, with ice cream parlors popping up all over the country. Ice cream sodas soon became a favorite, which eventually made way for ice cream sundaes. There are several competing stories regarding the origin of the ice cream sundae, the most entertaining of which has controversial origins. In 1890, Evanston, Illinois, passed a blue law banning ice cream sodas on Sundays because they were too sinfully rich to be consumed on the Sabbath. So, some clever merchant reinvented the dessert, keeping the syrup but leaving out the carbonated water in order to subvert the law, and incidentally created the sundae. Ice cream even played a big part in wartime efforts during the 20th century, when Americans considered it paramount to provide World War II soldiers with every possible comfort that could be spared, including eating ice cream a minimum of 3 times a week. When the Japanese shot down the USS Lexington in 1942, the crew broke into the ship's freezer and ate all the ice cream before abandoning the ship, even scooping ice cream into their helmets. That brings us to the frozen landscape of today, replete without their flavors and seemingly made for Instagram aesthetics. And the rest of us, well, we're happy to spread the gospel through our social media feeds. Which brings me to our restaurant spotlight for this month, Howdy Homemade Ice Cream. Howdy Homemade Ice Cream is recently opened in downtown Cary at 370 South Walker Street. They are on a relentless pursuit to create more jobs for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities using the power of smiles and amazingly delicious ice cream. Make plans to stop by Howdy's this week if you can. Howdy Homemade was started by Tom Landis in Dallas, Texas, on December 26, 2015. He didn't have a business plan, but what he did have was a people plan. After years as a franchisee of pizza and sandwich restaurants, Tom became keenly aware of how quickly those special needs were overlooked as productive employees after hiring a young man with Down syndrome for his restaurant. Serendipitously, Tom came across the book Another Season, A Coach's Story of Raising an Exceptional Son, by the legendary football coach Gene Stallings, who shares the moving story about his life's journey with his son Johnny. With these inspirations, Tom created a space where teens and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities could find meaningful employment. Tom went about creating a place for underdogs, a place where they could be the center of the business, a money-making enterprise that would stand as the example of how companies can put a social mission first. Tom is quick to challenge other business leaders to become more inclusive in their hiring practices. We all know that a job provides structure, confidence, and a sense of pride. Equally important to the family of a neurodiverse individual is that a job gives them the satisfaction and comfort knowing that their loved one is contributing to a successful business. Howdy Homemade is impacting lives throughout the community where shop owners have accepted the mission to create more jobs for people with IDDs through the power of our smiles and amazing ice cream, they say. From hiring and training to leadership and advancement, Howdy Homemade aims to change the way our society treats the special needs population. And while the ice cream gets rave reviews, Howdy Homemade is a successful business because of their employees who are the true heroes of this world. And while we are cooling down with ice cream, the weather is heating up, and so is the region's restaurant scene. 2023 is shaping up to be a banner year for restaurant openings in the Triangle. There are upcoming projects from folks like Chef Scott Crawford and Georgios Pakatsias, a whole slew of new spots in Durham's American Tobacco Campus, lots of movement in Raleigh's North Hills, and new developments galore all across the region seeking to entice hungry diners. This past June, we added two more restaurants to the hottest restaurants in the Triangle for 2023 list. Our first one is Szechuan Mansion Hot Pot. Calling all heat lovers, a Bull City outpost of the popular Cary Hot Pot restaurant, Szechuan Mansion has opened on 9th Street in Durham. The menu is similar to the original location, just choose a soup base, pick a dipping sauce, and then select what you'd like to cook in your broth, like sliced beef, mushrooms, bok choy, tripe, pork belly, bean sprouts, or shrimp. All of them yummy. opt for the Yin Yang double flavor pot and get two broths in one divided bowl to please hotheads as well as those who can't handle the heat. And our second addition to the list is Little Bull. Chef Oscar Diaz of Raleigh-Cortez Seafood and Cocktails has planted his flag in Durham with the opening of Little Bull, a restaurant that combines Asian and Mexican cuisines with a nod towards American comfort food. Think birria dumplings, a ribeye steak with nam tok, and La Nalgona, accurately described as a big old Caesar salad. Clever cocktails complete the vibe inside the sleek space in the historic Five Points neighborhood just north of downtown. And we have a lot of new restaurants around town to catch up on. So if you work or live in the RTP area, we have great news for you. The second location of Manhattan Cafe has opened right in the middle of Research Triangle Park at 1004 Lower Shiloh Way in Morrisville. They'll be open weekdays from 11 to 3. So if you're looking for a great working lunch, catering for your office, or one of the largest and most beautiful salad bars in the triangle, this will be your spot. Jim Tacos has expanded to Morgan Street Food Hall and just opened on Wednesday, June 21st. First, they had their food trucks, then they had a location in Hillsborough Street, and now this. Congratulations to them on their continued success. Burger Village, an organic and all-natural food concept, has opened in the former Blowfish Bar location at 510 Glenwood Avenue. This looks to be their first North Carolina location. Welcome to North Carolina, Burger Village. New York Corner Pizza just opened in the old Max's Pizza and Grill, located at 5609 Creedmoor Road, near the Relish Kitchen and Bourbon Bar. That's where that one went in. Giorgio's Picazzias, his latest concept. It's kind of a nostalgic twist of his former concept. Nico's is coming to Brightleaf Square, where Picazzias previously had Nico's Greek Tavern until 2011. This new concept will bring back some of their best dishes, as well as featuring dishes from Israel, Turkey, and Lebanon. Madre, the much-anticipated Mediterranean small plate concept, opened June 29th in downtown Raleigh's Smoky Hollow. That's a development on the corner of Peace and West Streets. In addition to great food, they also have an extensive wine and cocktail menu, along with weekend brunch. This is interesting. The News and Observer reported that the building that houses Mommy's Latin-style rotisserie chicken over there on Wake Forest Road in Raleigh has been sold to Cookout. Current plans hold for Mommy's to move to a new and larger location somewhere in the immediate area, so don't worry, we're not losing Mommy's. But no word yet on what the timing of all of that is. So we'll keep our eye out for that one. And speaking of Cookout, they are soon to begin construction at 4112 Lake Boone Trail, the empty lot between City Barbecue and CVS Pharmacy. Plans for that show their classic dual drive-through with no indoor dining, but no word on an open date yet, so it's still under review by the city. And a huge, huge shout-out to Benchwarmers Bagels as they landed on Bon Appetit's list of the, wait for it, very best bagels in the United States. If you've never been before, do yourself a favor and head over to the Transfer Company Food Hall this weekend and see for yourself. You can thank me later. Congratulations to Benchwarmers. That's one heck of a recognition. Raleigh Today shared the news that Blackbird Books and Coffee in downtown Raleigh City's Market will hold their grand opening on Friday, July 21st. The neighborhood coffee and book oasis is also seeking artist and maker vendors to sell local products in the shop. And let's head on over to Durham. Perhaps you've enjoyed his rubs and sauces, or had the privilege of attending an event he's catered. But soon you'll be able to sit down and enjoy his cooking in his new smokehouse. July 15th will be the grand opening for Mike D's Barbecue Smokehouse and Retail. The smokehouse is located at 455 South Driver Street in East Durham. Congratulations to Michael De Los Santos, Mike D, and his entire team for their continued success. Jumping over to Fuquay Verena, the Peach Cobbler Factory has opened at 8105 Fayetteville Street. This dessert spot offers various cobblers, puddings, cookies, sweet rolls, and more. Go check them out over in Fuquay Verena. Over in Cary, the newest location of Cheeto Taco is now open at the intersection with Kildare Farm Road in the shopping center with Trader Joe's, 151 Southeast Cary Parkway, to be exact. This is their second location. First is on Bale Street in Raleigh, with a third one on the way in downtown Raleigh. And the Cafe Soul Cups opened at 643 Mills Park Drive. They are Cary's first Korean dessert cafe and are serving up artisanal coffee, snow blingsu, and mochi donuts, croffles, and more. Also over in Cary, the Flying Biscuit Cafe is going into Parkside Town Commons, where another Broken Egg used to be, 1103 Parkside Main Street, and will open in September. It is owned by husband and wife team Tahir and Zinia Rafiq, who also own the Chapel Hill location. And over in Wake Forest, the Paul and Jack Bakery Cafe opened last week in the previous European Bakery and Cafe spot at 2010 South Main Street in Wake Forest. And that's probably just a handful of all of the new restaurants in the area. We do have one closing, however, to report for this month. It looks like Rasa Restaurant in Chapel Hill North Shopping Center by Harris Teeter on MLK Boulevard will close on July 29th. Maybe try to get by before then and say goodbye. We had a few restaurant ratings for the month of June. The Wake County Sanitation Grades Database showed over 100 random inspections have been completed between June 12, when I last reported, and July 8th. The majority of these received a grade of A, which is awesome. That's a score between 90 to 100 points. There were 8 restaurants that received a lower grade of B, which is between 80 and 89 points, and one received a grade of C with a score of 76.5. That was Milad Indian Cuisine. They were inspected on July 29th, located at 3212 Hillsborough Street in Raleigh, and was cited for 20 or so minor to major violations, including repeat cold holding violations, unsafe food storage, and improper storage of cleaning supplies, to name a few. We've got lots of upcoming food events, so go grab your calendar so you don't miss out on putting anything on your calendar. We have a lot of things coming up over the next few months. Brew and Chew, food truck, and local breweries will be on hand for Brew and Chew, a series of family-friendly events at the North Carolina Railway Museum and New Hope Valley Railway that offers the rare opportunity to take a one-hour train ride through the woods. Food and beverages are allowed on the train, and or a 45-minute walking tour of the railway and museum, with the next available date scheduled for August 5th, with three more scheduled later in the year. There'll be another one available on September 9th, October 27th, and November 11th. The Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue Festival is scheduled for August 4 to 5. Beer sipping, bourbon tasting, music listening, and barbecue eating. What's not to love? Don't miss the two-day Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue Festival at Carey's Cocobooth Amphitheater. This will take place on Friday, August 4th from 5 to 10 p.m. and Saturday, August 5th from noon to 6 p.m. Admission is $42 and buys you a souvenir sampling glass so you can enjoy an all-you-care-to-taste sampling of beer and bourbon, plus chow down on pulled pork, ribs, brisket, chicken, sausages, and all the fixings you can imagine, all while enjoying all-day live music and fun activities for the family. And a few surprises, including designated driver tickets, which are going to be sold on-site the day of the event only for $25, so everyone can enjoy themselves responsibly. Giddy up! The next Durham Central Park Food Truck Rodeo is Sunday, September 3rd, from 12 to 4 p.m., with the final rodeo of the season being scheduled for October 29th. The Raleigh area's biggest Oktoberfest celebration and fundraiser is coming Friday, October 6th and Saturday, October 7th. A much-anticipated event following the unfortunate canceling last year due to Hurricane Ian. Despite canceling, last year the event still was able to raise $25,000 for charity. Thanks to the generous sponsors of the event for last year, this year the forecast is sun, all day sun. That's what they're expecting. And the Triangle Oktoberfest will take place at Cocobooth Amphitheater, providing plenty of family-friendly activities, including live music, storytelling, dancing, and traditional Bavarian food and fare. Plus, local and authentic German beers on hand, of course. It is Oktoberfest, after all. And tickets will be going on sale soon. And folks over at Acme are bringing back Salt and Smoke on Saturday, October 28th. This year's event will be held at the Barn and Sonark Media, located just off Old 86 in Hillsboro. If you're not familiar with this event, it is a full afternoon and evening of live music, whole hog barbecue, raw oysters, and clams, and plenty of the right beverages to wash it all down. Local beer, wine, and cocktails are there to help you wash that down. I guess those are the right beverages in their mind. And don't forget the NC State Fair. It's coming October 12 to 22. The largest annual event in the state. The North Carolina State Fair draws over 1 million visitors through the gates each October, marking what many consider to be the unofficial beginning of the fall season. And we all look forward to this. 11 days of high-flying rides, deep-fried foods, live music, stunt shows, and all kinds of other entertainment. 2023, it marks the 155th year of this event. And the Raleigh International Wine Festival is scheduled for October 21st in downtown Raleigh's City Plaza. More than 25 international wine suppliers from Armenia to New Zealand will gather to provide sample tastings along with food trucks, desserts, and more. And right now, one in five people in Central and Eastern North Carolina don't have enough to eat. Your tax-deductible gift helps provide food and hope to families, children, and seniors right here in our community. Together, we can help people in our community during their greatest time of need. Give to your local food banks. Give your time. You can give, you know, cash, whatever, but just let's not let anybody go hungry. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. I hope that you have enjoyed today's broadcast. And be sure to listen next time. And please let us know if there are other cities or areas that you would like to hear about on our restaurant review, whether it's just letting you know that there are restaurants around, new restaurants, places you're interested in, events going on, whatever, just give us a call here at Raleigh Radio Reading Service. And keep eating local, folks. I'm Erica McCarty, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Review is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, as I mentioned before, any desires to hear anything particular, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.